Today on Real Radio.
You know, your checkbook, my checkbook, or ATM, or your, however you bank these days, how we spend our money is a pure, outright indicator of our love for God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called the Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. In this lesson called Our Biblical Worldview and Money, ancient Greek society believed that if you could somehow appease the gods, then fortune, favor, and blessing would be all yours. These misguided and ultimately abusive practices in the name of religion have left the church fearful of what others might think if they even mention the word money, or let alone ask for it. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that there are benefits to using money wisely. For a generous person will prosper, and their giving can be a tool for building God's kingdom. Using money wisely can also be an act of worship, for only out of an abundant heart will gratitude and abundance flow. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Somebody in need and you pass by them, being able to give them care, but you say, I'm not going to get involved. You can be arrested for that. Whatever demise comes to them, you can be held responsible because you had the power to do something and you didn't. Why is that a law? Because it is such a prevalent thing in our culture to do something. It's a wonderful thing. And then finally this, the benefits of money used wisely in kingdom building. In 2 Corinthians 9:10, we read it earlier. Now, may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Righteousness is your acts of good deeds, your right doing, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Paul is saying to the church at Corinth that money can benefit those in kingdom building. Very important. Third point, money and its negatives. We'll rush through the third and fourth point quickly. The 10th commandment, church, write it down. The 10th commandment is what's called a horizontal commandment, meaning that it affects or relates to those with whom we live with, whom we know in this world. Exodus 20, verse 17 says, you shall not covet. This is money and its negatives. Your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, or today we'd say his employees, nor his female employees, nor his ox or car, his donkey or his pickup, nor anything that is your neighbor's. God says, this is bad news. And we have programs that celebrate coveting on TV. The 10th commandment says, money or possessions handled wrong is a gross negative. Ephesians 5, verse 3. Listen to this. But fornication, that is having sex with somebody you're not married to, and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as fitting for saints. Verse 5, chapter 5. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, look, nor covetous man who is an idolater, when you covet things, you're an idol worshiper, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Wow. Colossians 3, 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Verse 6. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Wow. We have an example of a son of disobedience. In Judges chapter 7, verse 21, you guys remember Achan? Man, that is some story. That is a terrifying story. But look at verse 21. Joshua 7, 21, God had told Joshua, tell the people when you go into a place and you take it, don't take the people's stuff. It's defiled. I don't want it among my people. Well, Achan, he's thinking, you know, there's thousands of people around here. No one's looking. God's always looking. You guys understand that? God's always looking. When you see somebody's going like that, somebody looks to the left and looks to the right. What are you doing that for? You forgot to look up, man. What are you, nuts? Look up. So watch this. And I want you to look at this verse very carefully. When Joshua busts Achan, Achan turns and he says this, when I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and I took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it. Excuse me, look at the screen. Why didn't he say, I saw some clothes, I saw some silver, saw some gold, I saw some stuff? This is a key. Achan looks and he says this, it's in his heart. And all of us need to examine our hearts tonight. When I saw, he says, among the spoils, he should have said, some clothes. What does he say? A Babylonian, a beautiful Babylonian garment. You hear this? I mean, that statement's about as loud as this shirt I'm wearing. All right? Hey, it was on sale. I'm a cheap guy, so. Notice his thinking. Achan, what was it? He could have said, it was some shirt. Oh, no. He has to say, do you hear what's in his heart? You see how he sees things? Do you see how he applies through lust his value of a stupid garment? It was a beautiful Babylonian garment. And not silver. 200 shekels of silver? I waited. I could tell. I know. I could tell. This is a man who is a covetous man. And a wedge of gold. Gee, Achan, how much did it weigh? About 50 shekels. I coveted them and I took them. And they're hidden. Looked in the midst of my tent in the earth. Oh, and a little bit more detail. With the silver under it. Do you hear this guy? He's consumed with stuff. He lusts for stuff. Money, the pursuit of it, causes people to be consumed with the details. They get all wrapped up in, ooh, this could do this, this could do that. I could have that, I could have the other. And it gets all convoluted instead of, hey, it's just a tool for the glory of God. It can be used to advance the kingdom of God or to bless other people. No, it becomes a beautiful this and a fantastic that and a weighed this much and look. And oh, look what I got in. Hey, how much of that? Wow. Number four, we end here our biblical worldview in money and its positives. Luke 16:13, no servant can serve two masters. Jesus said, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. Isn't that amazing? Is this not true? You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is the ancient god of bucks. Isn't it fantastic? Jesus says, it's all going to come down to one of two things here. God, who's real, you'll either serve him, or mammon, which is man-made, and you'll serve him. One owns everything. And you need to realize that the other one will eventually own you outright completely. One will take you to eternal life. One will take you straight to hell. Listen, one will give you joy, peace, satisfaction. The other one, you'll never have joy, you'll never have peace, and you'll never have satisfaction. Have you noticed the gods of this world suck everything sweet and beautiful out of your life? When you live for the world, have you noticed that it just sucks life out of you? I'm at that age now, and I'm starting to get things now from people from, hey, your class reunion from like 1876. Your class reunion. And you, it's like, I remember the person's name, but that's the person? It's like, dude, the guy looks like he's 95 years old. What happened? The world sucks life out of you. But listen, money used rightly has its great positives. Jesus says, use it to the glory of God. Ecclesiastes again, chapter 5, verse 19. We're almost done. You've almost made it. Moreover, when God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy them, to accept his lot and be happy in his work, this is a gift of God. He seldom reflects on the days of his life because God keeps him occupied with gladness of heart. That is awesome. Godliness with contentment, the Bible says, is great wealth. That's 1 Timothy 6:6. Godliness with contentment is great wealth. So here we are. We're going to end with this. You ready? Very quickly. Number one, what should the Christian be doing regarding our worldview on money? Number one, recognize that money is a gift from God. No matter how much, don't place a value on it or amount on it. I have a dollar. That's a gift. I have $100 million. That's a gift. Watch this. It's from God. Number two, it's to be regifted. Do you regift? Money you do as a Christian, because it ain't yours to begin with. Number three, it's a tool for the building of God's kingdom. You know, your checkbook, my checkbook, or ATM, or your, however you bank these days. How we spend our money is a pure, outright indicator of our love for God. Do I just grudgingly put a nickel in the offering in my worship of God and then go and spend a gazillion oodles on for myself on this? Our account, our bank accounts know the truth. Four, it's to be put into use. I personally think it is a sin to hoard money. Yes, Pastor, that's why I'm hoarding gold. Nope. Number five, it's to be managed with fear. I personally believe, this is my personal conviction, my wife and I, our personal conviction, when you get your check or when you get anything, before you open your bills, you should get your check from your company, from your for your work, and you have your bills. I personally believe, have always believed, you should open up your check and write first your commitment to the Lord and then pay your bills. You say, what if I don't have enough to pay my... Watch what happens. God first, then pay the bills. Watch what happens. If you're thinking tonight, well, I'm going to pay my bills and then whatever's left, you know, see if God gets any. You will never, never make it. That is a biblical fact of God. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things shall be added unto you. A lot of people are in financial peril, and they're like, what? Listen, put God first and watch what happens. It's the only thing in the Bible where God says, test me in this and see if it's true. Isn't that amazing? He didn't say pray and then walk on water and see if that works. He says, look, put me first. Why? You know what? It's all about our hearts being in the right place, not about God needing money. You think he needs money? Our God doesn't use money. He doesn't need money. He doesn't have to have money. We're the ones that go freaky about it. Oh, gosh. Can you be done with this topic and go on to the next one, please? You know what? You're in love with money, man. If you're anxious about this, that's your God. That's your mammon, man. That's your God. Number six. Oh, ushers, this is going to be a tough one. Guard those doors. It's to be passed over in time to faithful hands. It's to be passed over in time to faithful hands. I'll come back to that in our closing here. Number seven, be praying and seeking every opportunity to invest in the kingdom efforts. Find out what ministry, and by the way, I always want to make this true, because if you're visiting or if you're listening or watching right now through his channel, if you attend a local church and you are being blessed, challenged, and you're growing, then you support that local church first. That is biblical, and that's what should be happening. If anything outside of that, you should be praying and asking and seeking God where else he may have you help in the kingdom's advancement. Now, here's where I end, and it's going to start a fire or an earthquake again today, and I'll just run out of the building here in a second. It all belongs to God. Somehow we've gotten in our minds, I don't know where this came from, but we work hard and God blesses our obedience. God will always bless obedience. And God begins to bless your life. You pray, you make some right decisions, and you act upon how God is leading you, and he winds up blessing you. A friend of mine, I won't name his name, years ago was told by a friend of his, you ought to buy some stock in this company. He said, I never heard of this company. He goes, that's the point. Buy some stock in this company. He goes, I don't have any money. He said, well, how much money can you afford if you get a credit card? If you lose all the money, how much payment can you make a month if you lose all the money? He said, well, this much. So he took $1,000 and he bought some penny stock in a company that nobody had ever heard of before. And at the end of 30 days, his buddy told him, you know what? This company shows some promise. I'm telling you, so you need to do this. And blah, blah, make a long story short, at a very young age, that guy had done that. And a company called Coca-Cola stepped in and bought that other little company out. And that guy never again had to work. The whole thing, the whole path along his life, still to this day, is that I want to bless God with what I have. And you know what? God just pours back into this person's life more. You guys, unbeknownst to me, unexpected by me, a president of a bank, and I won't name the bank, came to my office yesterday. And I'm thinking, what is this? We didn't call a bank. What is this? The guy comes in, sits down, and I'm thinking, what in the world is going on? I'm the president of XYZ Bank, and I mean, it's a big deal. This is a national bank based East Coast. And, I know what God's doing here. I've heard what is going on, and I just want to tell you something, that Jesus is so awesome in my life. And this guy shared for an hour, and I'm sitting there going, what in the world is this about? So it was time, I had to go to a meeting, and I said, our time, I'm sorry, but I gotta go. Now, why are you here? I did. I said, why are you here? And he said, well, I just told you for an hour why I'm here. He said, God has been awesome to my life. He got up and gave me a hug, and he prayed for me, and he left. I don't even have his card. That's precious. The guy's a millionaire. Powerful dude. He doesn't care. God gives us stuff. It's his stuff. And it's wrong for us in life that when we come to the end of our days, that we think somehow that we have the authority by God to leave what God has entrusted to our care into the hands of disobedient children. This is a sin. You think God blessed your obedience and blesses your life, and then you come to the end of your life, or you write up your will or your living trust, and you leave your nickel to a rebellious son? Never. Never. Where do we get this from? It's paganism. It's God's money. If you have obedient children that love God and are serving the Lord, and you tell your kids, listen, I'm leaving you this nickel, and I want you to use it to the advancement of the kingdom of God, It's all his. It's not yours. You think I worked all these years and prayed my guts out, followed God's leading and built this and did that, and then handed over to your drunkenness? That's not that drunk's sin. It's your sin. Very serious things. Our biblical worldview and money is that it's a tool given by God for the blessings of God. We are stewards and managers of it, and that is all. We must never forget this. To forget that is to become a covetous person and lose sight of God. Father, we come tonight. This issue is either abused in churches, the topic, or never spoken of. And Jesus, you said tonight that we are there, we are there bowing down at the altar of Yahweh, Almighty God, or at the altar of Mammon. And I ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, that tonight you would search all of our hearts here, Lord. Every one of us have an altar built. Maybe tonight there are people here or people watching right now and they don't have an altar to Yahweh God. They have an altar to pleasure, an altar of power, an altar of sex, an altar of pride. I don't know. But by the power of your Holy Spirit tonight, you'd be saying to them, you have built upon the sand and the storm is coming and it's all coming down. I have blessed your life and you have turned and mocked me with these blessings. You have lived for your own pleasure. You have sought your own passions, and you have left that which should have been done undone. And those things you should have never done, you've invested in. Maybe God is speaking to you tonight about the bankruptcy of your soul. Maybe God is speaking to you tonight about how much now you need Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to pay a debt that no money on earth could ever pay. No prince or raja, president or queen, philanthropist could pay this debt. Sin has left its crimson stain, but Jesus' blood upon the cross has washed away our sins and has made us, according to the Bible, as white as snow. And tonight, right where you're at, you need to say, Lord, come into my life and save me. Wash my sins. I have had other gods in my life. I am just like an Epicurean. I'm just like an Athenian. I'm just like a Grecian. I have had foreign gods. And I ask you to forgive me now as I trust Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Lord, take my life. It's yours. That I might live it for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said,
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Our Biblical Worldview and Money. Thanks for listening today. Pastor Jack wants you to be encouraged to be wise, prayerful, and worshipful about giving. Today's lesson was just one in our series called The Worldview Series. It's a series that looks at worldview issues with a biblical lens, and we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. If you are looking to have a more active, a more relevant, and engaging faith, which we hope you do, check out the Worldview series. Now, you can get your hands on the entire series, the entire Worldview series, on MP3, on a USB thumb drive, for your gift of any amount to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And you'll have the entire Worldview series. Now, this is the series that Pastor Jack really focused on, you having a more active, a more relevant, and engaging faith. Available for your gift of any amount to this ministry, just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Once again, for your gift of any amount to this ministry, you'll get that Worldview series on USB thumb drive in MP3 format. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.